Okay. First, the Mishnah tells us, excuse me, that women are exempt from performing the avod in the Beis Hamikdash. Hasmichos, atnufos, that's leaning on the carbon, tnufos, waving the different parts of the carbon, or carbon mincha, vagashos, bringing a kos kmitzos, removing part of the flour from the carbon mincha, ktharos, burning it on the mizbeach, malikos, part of the shkita, kabalos, vazos, accepting the dam, sprinkling the dam, all of them noigim banashim v'loi banashim, chutz min mincha saita v'nezira shehen manifos, the exception of mincha saita and nezira, which is a carbon that the Nazira brings at the conclusion of her period of Naziros, where the woman does perform the Hanafa. And where does the Gemara derive the exemption from women from all of these areas? So the Gemara goes on to derive it from different Xeris HaKosas. Smichos, Tehsiv Daber, B'nai Yisrael, V'somach, B'nai Yisrael, Soimches, V'im B'nai Yisrael, Soimches. Tenufos, Daber, B'nai Yisrael, B'nai Yisrael, V'lo B'nai Yisrael, Hagoshos, all of the B'nai Aaron, V'lo B'nai Aaron, B'nai Aaron, V'lo B'nai Aaron, again, all different seemingly exclusions from Xeris HaKosov, precluding women from participating in any parts of these avodas, or really any part of the avoda at all. So Taisa says over here, HaKabbalah Zvazos, on the fifth line, V'im Toima, my itzter kro b'gemara l'ma'utei noshim. Why do we need Xeris HaKosov in each one of these instances to exclude women? Typically, the kuhu mitzvah seishas man grama. Each one of them can only be performed during the day, not at night. All of avodah, not on Shabbos. All of these avodahs, parts of the service of Beis Hamikdash, are limited in their time. So, women should be exempt by the old rule of the first Mishnah that women are exempt from mitzvah seishas man grama. And another guy says, "Obi yoyim kedusim beyoyim savoisa lahakriv karbanehem, and not at night. You can't bring karbanos at night." V'yesh loymar dimikom makom itzur kolim utinu. Well, the mifso carbon benoshim. You might have thought, just like women are exempt from different mitzvahs, lulav, or hearing tkiyas shofar, but nonetheless, women can volunteer to perform them, as we've discussed at length. So you might have thought a woman is exempt from these avodas, but if she'll want to volunteer them, she could. So therefore, we have Xeris HaKosov to tell us, no, that she's not only exempt, but she cannot perform them, and if she will, the carbon will be possible. Mikomatsum ixrich koralim utinu umifso carbon benoshim. Dilav koral lo havi adinin shavayda psula bahen. I wouldn't know that the carbon is possible if they participate. Lo haki ixrich koralim utinu, therefore we need a possible to exclude them. Lameymar, not only that are they exempt, but machali avayda vavaydasim psula. If their avayda is possible, and if they participate, the carbon is possible. And the Tosfos HaRosh adds that you we shouldn't think that it's like other areas where a woman is exempt, but yet she can volunteer or she can participate. And he gives the interesting example to contrast it with Mila. As we know from where we started, the first Mishnah that discussed these issues in the Chav Ches Min Aleph, the Mishnah told us, but the Gemara went on to explain, that women are exempt from being Mal their children, because the Pasuk says, however, Raisa Tais HaRosh, that even though women are exempt from Mila, there is one opinion in the Gemara Masechta of Vayedazara, we might even paskin like this, that a woman can perform a bris Mila. Yes, she's exempt, she doesn't have to do it, but if she does it, the Mila might be kosher. The Gemara says Masechta of Vayedazara over here the following, Itmar, very surprising Gemara, Minayin Lemila, Ba'ove Kechavim Shipsula. How do we know, everyone knows, that a guy cannot perform a bris mila. The question is, why not? What's the source? Its assumption in the Gemara is that you cannot perform bris mila. The question is, why not? So, Dar bar Papa Mishmei Derav Amma, Mishmei Derav Amar, Va'atas Brisi Tishmar, the Pasuk says, and you should keep this bris, which implies only those people who are B'nai Bris, meaning who are Chayiv in bris mila, can perform bris mila. Or the part of the bris of bris mila, and which excludes goyim. Rabbi Yochanan, himo yimo, because the pasuk says himo yimo kol zachar, implies someone who has a bris is someone who can bestow, can perform a bris. Okay, two different psukim. Either you're not bechlal bris, or because you don't have a bris mila yourself, therefore you can't give a bris mila to somebody else. What should be the difference? The Gemara says the difference, ikabe nahu isha. Now, if you would have just, I would have said to you, Rabbi said there are two reasons why a guy is exempt. One is because he's not Bechlal Bris. The other is because he doesn't have a Bris Mila himself, therefore, or he didn't have to have a Bris Mila himself, therefore he can't give a Bris Mila to somebody else. Now, if I were to ask you, one of them excludes women, one of them includes women, which would you have said? I would have said that women are part of the Bris of Bris Mila, but there's a technical reason that they're excluded. So if the reason is because Be'ates Brisi Tishmar, even though Goyim are excluded from the Bris, women are a technical, you know, reason there's no Bris Mila, but they're part of the Bris, nonetheless. And she could perform Bris Mila, but if it's because you need to have a Bris Mila, women don't have a Bris Mila, and therefore they can't perform Bris Mila. So depending on one of the two reasons why a guy is exempted, a woman would be kosher with one and excluded with the other. But the Gemara says just the opposite. Fascinating Gemara. Igimei nayu isha, lemanda amar ba'ates brisi tishmor leka. If it's because you have to be part of the B'nai Bris, women are not called part of the B'nai Bris organization. They're not included in the B'nai Bris. They can't perform Bris Mila. The isha lab bas milahi. Ulaman da amar himo yimo. But if the reason is because you have to have a Bris Mila in order to give one, ika. The isha kamanda mahalya damya. A woman is as if she already was born with a Bris Mila. Okay? So therefore, if the reason is himo, it's surprising. If the reason is himo yimo, so then a woman can perform a Bris Mila. Umi ika lamanda amar isha lo. Is that possible to say a woman can't? What about Tzipora? Rabbi said, if we parashi is going, Tzipora performed Bris Mila on the two children of Moshe. Who was it? The oldest one? Both? It was the Gershon, right? Why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu was being swallowed up. So because he didn't perform Bris Mila on his son. So what did Tzipora do in order to prevent my gave of Atikach Tzipora Tzar, and she performed Bris Mila? So how could you say you can't perform Bris Mila? See, Pura performed Bris Mila. Da Amr le'inish achrin evav. No, she told someone else to do it. Or Ibai say ma'asi ihu va'askla va'asa Moshe v'gamra. She began it, the Moshe Rabbeinu concluded it. But either way, it's two opinions of the Gemara. It's a machlekes had a paskin. We paskin in Shulchan Aruch that a woman can't perform Bris Mila if there is no qualified man to do it. So you have it once in a while in the boondocks. And you have a guy's on a deserted island and he wants to perform Bris Mila, and he has a boy and there's no one else to perform Bris Mila. He can't afford to fly a mile in from halfway across the world, and he's in some island somewhere. So then if there's a female Jewish physician who knows, let's say, how to perform Bris Mila, then maybe the woman could do Bris Mila. Either way, huh?
The man Domer says she's la Bris Mila. They still agree that she's command the
Holy. Yes, surprising. So, it's as if she has a Bris Mila.
But she's not
an honorary Bris Mila. But if it's part of the Bris, women are not part of the Bris.
Even though she really has
a Bris. Yeah, I would have said she's part of the Bris, but she doesn't have a Bris Mila. That's what I would have said. That's not what the Gemara says. Either way, Rabbi Yisai says to Tais Zarosh, you might have thought Karbonos are like Bris Mila. Women are exempt from Bris Mila. But if she performs one, there's at least one opinion in the Gemara. We paskin like that, that the Mila is kosher. So I would have thought the Avoda, the carbon, is kosher if a woman participates in it. Therefore, says the Tais HaRosh, that the Mishnah comes out of its way to learn from different Gzeiros HaKosef, different exemptions from the Pasuk in each one of these instances, that not only is a woman exempt, she doesn't have to perform these mitzvahs of HaKrabos HaKarbonos, but if she does so, then the carbon is possible. That's why we needed a special Gzeiros HaKosef, and we didn't rely on the fact that it happens to be a mitzvah Asei Shezman Grama to teach us that she's possible. Taisus, if you flip the page on the Vlam of Vavam Abeis, it's really just a continuation of this Taisus. It's not supposed to be a separate Tibra Maskil. Taisus asks a different reason. We could have known that the carbon is already possible. Meaning, we would have known on our own. What do we need? Xeris HaKasav, B'nai Aaron, B'la B'nai Sar, and all of these different exclusions. It should be possible for a different reason. You know why it should be possible? It should be possible because not only should they be exempt, it's possible because a woman's not wearing big day kahuna when she's performing these avodas. Vim taimar, tape a to call honey, ainim ksheris binoshim. The carbon should be possible, we could have known on our own. Lufi shehein mechusa begadim. Da amar apak beis desvachim, even a male kohen. Da fiel kohanim is man, shehein big day malayim, ain kunasim malayim. They can't function as a kohen unless he's wearing the big day kahuna. So a woman should have the carbon, not only should they be exempt, the carbon should have been possible. Because she's not wearing big day kuna. We could have figured that out on our own. Why do we need Xeris HaKosev? So Tosfos has two answers. Yesh Loimar, Demari Shalav Shuas HaBegadim. This woman is wearing big day kuna. I guess it's tailored specifically for her. Female big day kuna, no problem of wearing the different genders clothing. Special female line of Big Day Kahuna. That's what she's wearing. The Yeshlemer, the Meir, she loves Shuas HaBegadim. Ina, mi Yeshlemer, Kevin Shalai Netztavu Big Day Kahuna lo havi mechus HaBegadim. Since she's not commanded, she's not obligated, included in the midst of wearing Big Day Kahuna, you can't call her missing Big Day Kahuna. Meaning it's not that you need Big Day Kahuna in order to make the Avodah Kosher. It's that you, since there's a mitzvah of Big Day Kahuna, you can't be missing Big Day Kahuna. And a woman is not considered to be missing Big Day Kahuna because she was never commanded in the mitzvah of Big Day Kahuna. So one opinion of Taisa says we're talking about she was wearing Big Day Kahuna. The other opinion of Taisa says she doesn't, there's no psul of Mechusa Begadim because she was never commanded in the mitzvah of wearing Big Day Kahuna. Perhaps there's a conceptual machlekes going on over here between Taisa, these two opinions in Taisa. The first opinion in Taisa seems to assume that women are included in the mitzvah of wearing Big Day Kahuna. And therefore the Taisa felt, well, we could then figure out that of course the carbon's pasul because she's not wearing the Big Day Kahuna. Taisa answers, no, you know what, she's wearing them. The other opinion Taisus felt, women aren't exempt. There's a psul of mechusa begadim, you're missing begadim. Women were never included in the mitzvah of wearing Big Day Kahuna. Perhaps these two opinions in Taisus are reflecting an important machlekes, or suffolk, that the Achronim have about the status of a bas kohen. What is her status? Is she like a czar? She's not a kohen at all. Since she's pasul avoda, b'nei aron v'lo b'nei saron. Or, no, she's a kohen. A female kohen is also a kohen. But there's a psul, you know, she's not supposed to do the avoda, b'nei aron v'lo b'nei saron. Like an assay, nisar assay. It's supposed to be the man, not the woman. But you're really a kain. I mean, she's really a kain, but you know what? She shouldn't be the one doing the avodah. So in fact, yeah, what do you want to say?
I just want to say she's czar if she falls under the category of
eating
the truma.
Of what?
Of truma.
So she's allowed to eat truma when she's in the house of the father, but not when she marries somebody else. So you're right, so that might indicate that she's not, if she were an independent kohen, why can't she collect truma all the time? There is the other, though, example that she does collect chazi v'shoik. There's part of the heavy carbon you're supposed to give to the kohen, and she can collect those even if she's married to a Yisrael. The Gemara says in Masechta Tesachim that the zroya l'chayayim v'akeva, those parts of the carbon you have to give to the kohen, the woman can accept. So you're right, you have the evidence from truma that sounds like she's not a kohen, on her own rights, her own merits. But at the same time, the Gemara says in Chulin, she can't accept Zerah Chayyam Vakeva. So it's a little bit unclear. What is her status? So in fact, Rabbi Yosef Engel has this Chakira in his Sefer called Asvin Doiraisa. He has like a series of like 30 or 40 Chakiras. You have to be Rabbi Yosef Engel. I mean, the guy pilpels throughout Shas, you know, going back and forth, rise one way or the other. And over here, it really boils down to a Machleib between the Rambam and the Sefer Achinuch. Look at the Rambam over here, Perak Tes, Ilchus Bias Mikdash Loch Aleph. The Rambam writes, Zar Sha'ovet B'mikdash Avodasa Psula, a non-Kohen, who does avoid the Beis HaMikdash, is avoid this Pasul, v'chayiv misa b'dei shamayim. Shenemar v'azara korev, yumas paskim parshas korech. Mipi ha-shmua lomdu, she'en chiv zel l'karben ala avoida. Okay, fine. Ezu zar, who's a zar? Who's the stranger, the non-Kohen? Kol she'eno mizera aron hazachorim. Unless he's a male Kohen, he's a zar. Person, the individual, the human being, is a czar. Shenemar ba'orchu b'nei Aaron, v'ktiru b'nei Aaron v'lo b'nei Aaron. So b'nei Aaron are what? Are they a czar? Yeah, strangers. Foreigners. B'nei czar sh'ave b'mikdash chayiv misa. But look at the Sefer HaChinuch. Sefer HaChinuch says no. Shlo yavod czar b'mikdash, kloimar kol mi she'enu mizera Aaron. Anybody who's not mizera Aaron, so it sounds like it doesn't say Mizera Aaron as a Chorim, it says Mizera Aaron, which implies any woman who's not Mizera Aaron, or any man who's not Mizera Aaron. But men and women are the same. So it sounds like a woman would be a Kohen, just she's excluded from doing Avodah, B'nei Aaron V'lo B'nei Aaron. A special example is a custom excludes women. But fundamentally, conceptually, she's indeed a Kohen. She has the status of a kohen. Not with all of its rights and privileges. She doesn't collect truma, it's true. But at least when it comes to avodah, she's not a czar. So if that's the case, perhaps you can understand why Taisus in the first opinion says she's wearing Big Day Kahuna. After all, she is a kohen. So yes, it's true, b'nei Aharon v'lo b'nei Aharon, but I wouldn't necessarily passel the carbon by virtue of the fact that it says, you know, without the xeris hakasa, b'nei Aharon v'lo b'nei Aharon, if she, without that xeris hakasa, barring that exemption, so Taisa says, well, wouldn't I know carbon's passel anyway? She's not wearing b'dei kuna. No, she's wearing b'dei kuna. And she is a kohen. She can do that. The other opinion in Taisus is, I wouldn't have passed the carbon, necessarily, without the Xeris Akasov to tell me she's a czar, but don't start telling me she's wearing Big Day Kahuna. Big Day Kahuna don't apply to a woman. The woman's not a kohen at all. How could she wear Big Day Kahuna? So yes, she's not mechusar, regardless, she's not missing Big Day Kahuna because she's not commanded at all. So it wouldn't necessarily passel it on its own. You have to be missing Big Day Kahuna, not just not wearing them. And she's not missing them because she's not commanded in them, because she's not a kohen. I mean, maybe part of what's going on here in the Tosfos is these two opinions, perhaps reflecting these two different notions. Where do women stand in the end of the day? B'nei Aharon v'lo b'nei Aharon, are they kohanim or are they not kohanim? The Rambam seems to say no. Sefer Chinuch seems to say yes. Perhaps that's what's going on here. Can women wear Big Day Kahuna? Does it make any sense for a woman to be wearing Big Day Kahuna? Perhaps, this is a Rambam l'shitasa. The Rambam writes that a woman cannot accept Pinyin HaBen. Rambam writes, Parak Aleph, Hilchos Bikur Melacha Yud, V'chein Pinyin HaBen L'zichrei Kahuna Shenemar, Shechein Nemar V'nosata HaKezef La'aron U'Lubanov. It's only to Zichrei Kahuna Zicharim V'loy Nekevos. You can only give Pinyin HaBen to a male koi, not to a female. However, Rabbi said, there's a Taisvis earlier, on Daf Chesimet Aleph, Chesimet Beis, Masechtas Kiddushin, Chesimet Aleph, turn back, Rav Kahana. You might remember this sugya of Didi Shavali, where I give it artificial value. A woman gives value to something that no one else values because it's good for kiddushin. So the Gemara says Rav Kahana shakol sudra by Pinyin HaBen. He accepted a garment for Pinyin HaBen. But Tosfos says, 1 minute, Rav Kahana wasn't a kohen, even though his name sounds like kohen, like his name is Cohen. He wasn't a kohen. Mashma achad Rav Kahana hayi kohen. B'tema, the b'soif elu oivim mashmut aloi ayakoyin. The ka'amar ilab the nasivi kahanta lo galoi. If it's not that I married a bas koyin, you know, wouldn't have applied to me. Sounds like he's not a koyin. V'yeshloim at the tre Rav Kahana havu. That's always the easy answer. There were two Rav Kahanas. One was a koyin, one wasn't a koyin. We didn't even question it. His name is Kahana. How could he not be a koyin? But okay. Inami, says Tarsus. He was accepting Pinyin HaBen because he's married to a Bas Kohen. His wife, meaning certainly could accept Pinyin HaBen, and not only could his wife accept Pinyin HaBen, he accepted Pinyin HaBen on her behalf. Wow. Because he ate Zerayel Chayayim Vakeva from his wife. That's the Gemara, Kuflam and Bezim Adalf. Those parts of the carbon that are given to the Kohen, you could even give to a Bas Kohen. So he used to eat those parts of the carbon. His wife supported him in that. So at least it's one opinion. The other opinion in Tosfos probably doesn't agree with this. But at least one opinion in Tosfos is that a woman could even accept Pinyin HaBen. Maybe that's also going on here. It plays a part in this issue. What is the status of a Bas Kohen? We say B'nei Aharon v'lo B'nei Aharon. Does that mean she loses her status as a kohen? She's like a czar? When it comes to karbana, certainly Big Day Kahuna wouldn't apply to her. And she might be chai mis if she brings a karban, or no. Perhaps B'nei Aharon v'lo B'nei Aharon is a special xeris hakasa, but in fact, at her core, she's a kohen. With perhaps some rights and privileges. And perhaps that's why Tosfos felt she can wear, she can accept Pinyin HaBen. Perhaps that's why what opinion Tosfos felt she can wear Big Day Kahuna. And why the Sefer Chinuch felt perhaps that she's not a czar. Anyway, these two opinions of Tosfos here about women wearing Big Day Kahuna might reflect on this larger issue. But so again, returning to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says women are exempt, and not only exempt, but they passel any time of avoda that they participate in, with two notable exceptions. Chutz mimincha soita v'nezira shehein manifos. Except the mincha soita and the karban nazir that they do perform hanafa. So the Gemara addresses this on Lamavav HaMabez. Rabbi says, I turn to Lamavav HaMabez right after the two dots. Amalei Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Yeshua, Rebbe Yeshia. Laseiz v'karecha, don't sit down, adamat, meaning don't rest, adamat ulu hashmaisa, until you explain this to me. Minai l'mincha saita shetuna tnufa. First of all, how do you know mincha saita, the woman has to wave the carbon back and forth? Because k'siv v'heinefes ha-mincha, you should wave the mincha. V'heinefes ha-mincha lo tnufa b'baylim. Minalan. What do you mean? B'gufei k'siv. It says in the pasuk, v'heinefes ha-mincha. He says, no, that's the kain should wave the mincha. How do you know tnufa b'baylim minalan? How do you know the woman also has to wave the mincha? So asi yad yad mishlamim. Is gzeira shava? Here it says yad, and by carbon shlamim it says yad. By the chaz of a shayk, which was waved by an animal carbon. By animal carbon, you wave the chaz of a shayk. Carbon mincha, you wave the whole part of the carbon mincha. So, k'siv hacha, v'lakach ha-kayin miyad ha-isha. Here it says, the kayin takes it from the hand of the woman. K'siv hasam yadav tiviyena. Ma-kan kayin, af-lahalan kayin. Just like the carbon shlomim, the kayin is waving it. So to hear the kayin is waving it. Ma-lahalan bebailim, af-kan bebailim. Just like by carbon shlomim, the chaz of a shoik is waved, the tenufa is done by the bailim too. Here too, the bailim are the one who are waving the carbon. And who's the bailim of the mincha saita? The saita herself. Haketzad, how do you do this? How do two people wave the same carbon? Kayin machnis yodoi tachas yad bailim. The kayin puts his hand underneath the hand of the bala carbon, umenif. So they put their hand underneath the hand of the car, underneath the hand of the bialim. Okay, so Rabbi Sai, what's going on? How does the kohen wave the mincha saita together with the woman? She puts her hand underneath the carbon. The kohen puts his hand underneath hers. They wave the carbon together. Frek Taisa Kash over here. Machnis kohen yodav takas yada bialim umenif. He puts her hand underneath her. He puts his hand underneath hers. Vim taimar. V'havi chatzitza. It's a chatzitza. He's not touching the carbon. That's like a braid. Something's in between. Just like we're familiar with the concept from mikvos. You can't have something on your skin that's blocking contact with the water. Here, you have a chatzitza between the hand of the kohen and the carbon. Da'achinami arminu b'menachis. Because Gemara tells him a sechlis menachis. Ein tnufa b'chayvrin. You can't do tenufa with chayvrin. What's chayvrin? Perish b'shutfim. Let's say you have more than one person who's bringing a carbon. Who does tenufa? Well, let everybody do tenufa. Why do you want to exclude people? Let everyone do. Everyone participate. A participation trophy. Let everyone participate in the tenufa. Dehech le'avid. How are you going to do this? Leinfu v'hada leinfu. Let one do it, then the next one will do it. Take turns. Chayma da shutfim ze'ach arzei anifu. Chada tenufa. So the Gemara says you can't do that. Chada tenufa marachman v'oshnei tenufos. One tenufa, not many. You can't take turns. V'imanachad min hashutvin yodei tachas yad. Well, let's do like this. You know, everybody put their hand on top of the other one. Imkena v'chatzitza. So you're stuck. So there's no tenufa b'chayvrim. You can't take turns. Tenufa achas marachman v'oshnei tenufos. Let everybody put their hands on top of the other one. You can't. It's a chatzitza. I'm in the kai gavna. Have a chatzitza. So Taisa says, "V'yeshloim ha'adloy dami." I might have said, first of all, they're not the same for many other reasons. I might have said two balei carbon are different than a kayin and the bal carbon. Kayin and the bal carbon is different than two balei carbon. The Taisa's really suggests something like that. They're very different. You could go in that direction, but Taisa goes in a different direction. V'yeshloim ha'adloy dami. Here it's a gzeiras hakasuv that the Baal, you can't do it any other way, the Baal carbon and the kain. You need it. So obviously the Torah is not going to consider this to be a chatzisa. How else are you supposed to go about this, waving the carbon with two people? If you have two partners in a carbon, there's no gzeiras hakasuv, you have to bring a carbon with a partner. You decided to bring a carbon with a partner, we can't allow you to wave the carbon. But here, there's no other way of bringing a mincha saita other than the woman waving it together with the kohen. V'yeshloim ha'adloy dami. D'ha'kainu time lo'avi chatzitza b'yagavnu v'yishu gzeres ha'kosev d'ba'inan kohenu b'aylem. Avahosam gavishnei shutvin chashu kai gavnu chatzitza. There's no gzeiros hakasuv that two partners have to bring a carbon and both wave it. We never have such a scenario. So fine, so the Torah doesn't necessarily allow it, and here it's a chatzitza. So answer number one in Taisis. Again, the question is, we said, there a woman participates in the carbon. What does she participate in? She waves the carbon together with the kohen. How do you go about that? Says the Gemara, he puts his hand underneath hers. Oh, and then it's a chatzitza. Taisis says, not a problem. Why not? It's exactly the custom. The Torah said that you have to do it this way. Obviously, it's not a problem. First answer, Taisis.
Wait, there's not a problem with the
kohen
touching.
Whoa! Where's all that? We haven't even brought that up yet. We're still, that's what we have to deal with. Good point. Oidesh Leimar. Waiting for somebody to bring it up. Oidesh Leimar. Then Taisis gives another answer. The kohen's not touching the woman's hand. No, that's not what's going on. The kohen not a chatzitza. That would be a chatzitza. The kohen holds it underneath. The baal hakarbon here, the woman holds it on top. Synchronized hanafa. V'hashta leka chatzitza klal. There's no problem of chatzitza. D'achinami ashkan gabi bikurim. That's how bikurim were waved. Shakayin haya oikeis b'sfasav. The kohen held it on the outside. Klamer b'sfasa kli lamayla. There the kohen is on top. The b'ayim alamata. D'achinami gabi minokais ipka. Shiyara b'ayim tiya lamayla. V'yara kohen lamata. The one is on top, one is on the bottom, and they're waving it together. Azoi. Two answers in Tosis. One answer is the kohen puts his hand literally underneath the woman's hand. Ah, isn't it a chatzitza? He's not touching the carbon. It's exeris hakasuv. There's no other way to do it. Or, says Tosis, they're both holding opposite ends, like we find by Bikurim. And therefore, it's not a chatzitza. The Tosis HaRosh does not like this second answer in Tosis. Why not? Because on the second line, you'll see, he quotes on the first line this answer. They're holding it on either side. But then he says, Yushalmi over here in the end of the first parak Maseches Kiddushin asks, Mashma, Shakayin Meniach Yodav Al Yedei Ha'isha Mamish. I'm sorry, says the Tosafos HaRosh, editorializing, it sounds like from the Yushalmi that the Kayin literally put his hand underneath the woman's hand. Not that they're holding one on top, one on bottom. That's not the pshat. It sounds like from Yishami that's not the pshat. We have to say it's because it's exeris hakasuv. That's why it's not a chatzitza. You can't say it's because each one's holding on the other side. Because it sounds like from Yishami he was touching her hand. Because the ka'amar b'Yishami ve'ein davar k'keyor, isn't this unseemly? Isn't this inappropriate for the kohen to put his hand underneath the isha saita? Perush shenegeya bidei ha'isha. He's touching her hand. Umishani, the Yushalmi asked this. And Yushalmi says, bring a cloth and put it in between. Gloves. So the Gemara says, you can't. It's going to be a chatzitza. That's mamash a chatzitza. He's not putting gloves in between. It's going to be a chatzitza. So the Gemara says, no problem. Bring an elderly kohen. Maybe kohen zaken, and now it's not as unseemly, it's not as inappropriate. You go to the home, we'll wheel them in. No, says Yushami, a few tamer kohen yelen, ein hayetzer motzli lo oisasha. There is no yetzer hara in that moment. So that's what Yushami explains. Yushami asks, 1 minute, he's touching your hand. Yushalmi said, how can he do that? Chatzitza, let's start bringing in gloves, and let's start with the old kohen. And the kohen said, no, it's not a problem. And he gets a matzah lo sasha. We'll have to understand that in a second. But either way, he says the Taisis HaRosh sounds like he's holding her hand. Doesn't sound like the opposite sides of the carbon. But then the Taisis HaRosh backs down. Well, maybe we could reinterpret this. Miu, matzina lememar. Even if his hand is underneath, her hand is on top, or they're on opposite sides of the carbon. Maybe they won't be as coordinated as we would like, and they will bump into one another. Ardeshim is asking for tenufa. And that's what the Yerushalmi meant. You know what? This is not, still doesn't look right. Even if they're both on opposite sides of the carbon, you have synchronized hanaf over here between the kain and this eshes ish. It's still a little awkward. Bump into one another. And that's what the Yerushalmi said. We don't have to be concerned with that. So the Taisa Rosh doesn't reject that answer in Taisa because of the Yerushalmi. Taisa Rosh says, initially it sounds like he's touching her hand. That's why the Yerushalmi was bothered by this. And he says, you know what, we could even be bothered by it even if they're on opposite sides of the carbon. In which case, that's why it's not a chatzitza. They're both holding onto it because he might bump his hand into hers. So the Yerushalmi says, no, that far we're not concerned. This issue comes up, l'maisa, not by Mincha Saita, but in every Chuppas Nida, which not as common as you might think, but more common than perhaps you might think. It doesn't happen all too often, but it happens. So what do you do about the chassan handing the ring to the kala? So the normally, the wife is a nida, you're not allowed to pass things one to the other. It's one of the harchokos, special limitations that a husband has with his wife when she's a nida, in order to prevent them from performing an avera. It doesn't exist by a random woman. You can pass things to any isha nida you want, but if it's your wife and she's a nida, since you're so close, in general, we've been intimate, so then we're afraid that this will lead to further intimacy. So you don't pass things one to the other. So that doesn't apply. They're not husband and wife yet. Okay? But what about the fact he's going to put the ring on a finger and might touch a finger? So that's why the Be'er Heitev quotes in the name of the Ma'aril in Evin HaEzer, then he should drop the ring into her hand like this. Rav Salvechik was machmer for that. So this, I think it says, Rav Shechter quotes in the Nefesh HaRav.
Everyone know?
Yes. I think he once said into the microphone, now drop the ring in there. Things don't fly anymore, Rabbi Zayn. But I've never seen that, never heard of it in my generation, such a thing. Rabbi Paiskim Ameiko. Rabbi Vadi is a truth in the Yabiya Omer, the Itzar Paiskim, called all the Paiskim, many Ameiko, against this Ma'aril. Why? It's a legitimate concern. So they all quote this Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi said, even according to Taisa Rosh, what we're afraid, they're on opposite sides of the carbon, we're afraid they might come to touch. What does that mean? What it means is you're in public over here. The carbon, the Mincha Seit, is being brought in front of the whole Beis HaMikdash. You're over here in front of an entire wedding hall. This is not an intimate setting at all. And we're involved in the technical aspects of getting married. There's a transaction taking place over here. There's a carbon, this Isha Seit is trembling. You know, she should be, about what her future is going to be. So, at that moment, for an instant, a fleeting moment, and it's in front of such a large group of people, which is not, you know, secluded anyway, to start being chayshish for the Yitzhara in that kind of setting by a moment's, perhaps, mistaken bump into one another, we're not afraid of the Yitzhara. So too, perhaps, with regards to the Isha Nida, with the Chuppas Nida as well, we don't have to be concerned with it. Just like Yerushalmi's not concerned, perhaps according to one explanation, Yerushalmi by putting his hand underneath her hand. Not only that they are holding opposite sides of the carbon, he might come to bump into her. Literally putting his hand underneath her hand and waving the carbon, Eina Yetzer Matzalah, so sure, so too, to put the ring on her finger. You know, we don't have to be machmer on that. Yeah.
Just like a little tangential to this, but like more like with regards to our previous discussion about whether a woman would need to wear the Bidi Kahuna if she were to be
right.
A Buddha. Like, is Bidi Kahuna like the pivotal kind of like aspect of being able to perform? Don't you also have to be, I guess, like, Tahor?
So
would a woman
tame.
Like be able.
Assuming she's Tahor, otherwise she's Tame, she's other reason she can't do it, yeah.
Like, meaning as long as she's not Nida, like,
of course.
So Bidi Kahuna would be the only thing
right.
To block, like, differentiating her from man.
Well, that's the question. Is she a kain in the first place?
Right, but like, presuming she is, like, Bidi Kahuna is the only, like, I guess.
Thing that's what Taisa says. What about Bidi? Then we have a separate exclusion. We have a separate piece of, this separate clause excluding her, Xeris Akasov, Bnei Aaron, V'Levonei Saron. So now she's out. But the question is, what was she, or what is she after? Is she a czar? Is she, like, totally excluded? Or is it just a limitation that she can't do this aspect, but fundamentally, at her core, she is a kohen? That's what we were talking about. Like, what's her identity? You understand? So getting back over here, the Yerushalmi says, either way, whether their hand underneath the Kohen's hand is underneath the Isha Saita, on the other side, perhaps they're going to come bump into one another. Yerushalmi asks, is Mechura Adavar? It seems inappropriate, but Eina Yetze Matzah, there's a Shon that applies to every Chuppas Nida. But Rabbi said, we need to ask a more basic question. And that is, what do you mean Mechura Adavar? It looks inappropriate. It doesn't look inappropriate. Isn't this an Iser? What do you mean? Eina Yetze Matzah, there's a Shon. Yeah, what kind of Yetze Ra exists in this kind of setting? It's fine. What do you mean it's fine? Eina Yetze Matzah, there's a Shon. It's the Yerushalmi says Mechura, which implies that, like, it looks bad, or it's, you know, shouldn't this be an Iser? The Rambam writes in Sefer Mitzvot Loisa, say Shinun Gimel, commenting in the Pasuk, Parshas Achrimos, Lo Sikrevu Legalos Erva, He Shiz Yeronim Ikarav La'achas Mikol Arayos, Rafilu B'loi Biyah. You're not allowed to have Kirub Basar with any of the Arayos, not only formal relations, Tashmish, any Kirub Basar, Kigon Chibuk V'nishuk V'adoyim Lehem Mipu'ulas Hasnus. All of these are prohibited. Midoy Raisa, as part of Gilui Arayus, would probably be Har Val Yavor. V'hu Amr Yisala Bazhar Mizeh, Ish, Al Kol She'er B'saroi, Loi Sikrivu L'Galei Serva. Kilu Yomer Loi Sikrivu Mehen Kiruv Yavor L'Galei Serva. Any kind of Kiruv Basa could lead to Gilui Arayus. So touching one of the Arayus, like an Ashes Ish, should be a harig val yavo. What do you mean mechuar hadavar? It doesn't look right. What did Yerushalmi say? Ein hadavar kior. Mechuar hadavar? It's aser hadavar. How can we start making these kinds of distinctions? And he ate some matzah lo sasha. It's true the Ramban disagrees, and as our circles over there on the Sefer HaMitzvahs, as is well known, the Ramban does not count us in the Minyan HaMitzvahs. This is not an Isur Midoraisa. It's a warning, don't come close to doing it, but it's not its own Issa prohibiting Kiruv Basar. Aval kafiya yin b'talmud ein adavar kein, shiyah b'kreva she'im agiloi erav akor chibuk v'nishuk lav u'malkus. There's no lav and malkus, it's not an Issa midoraisa. The Ramban does not hold its mutter, it's asa midorabanan, but it's not a lav doraisa, would not be a harival yavor, it's not giloi arayos. Still awesome in the Rabbanon. So why does Yerushalmi say Ein Hadavar Mechuar? Doesn't look right. It's inappropriate. It's more than inappropriate. It's Aser. According to the Rambam, Midrash. According to the Rambam, Midrash Rabbanon. How do we paskin like the Rambam of the Ramban? So it's a Machlekshi in the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. Where it's either way, it's Aser in the Rabbanon with regards to an Isha Chayla, a woman who is not well. See, the Shulchan Aruch writes over here is Zion. Isha Chayla V'Nida, a woman who's not well, she's a Nida, so she's an Erva, she's prohibited to her husband at that time. Also, the Baila Liga Bakadeh L'Shamsha, the husband cannot take care of her. Kegoyin La'kimo La'shkivo L'samcha. You can't take care of her. Not just the husband, by the way. That means any man. Any man cannot take care of a sick woman, according to the Shulchan Aruch. Why? Shulchan Aruch passes like the Rambam. Touching one of the arayos is in asim isim idarayos gili arayos would even be yahar gal yah. But that's why the Shulchan Aruch continues in the next large letters in bila roife also the mashmas la defek. Husband is a doctor; he also can't take care of her. But it's not limited to the husband. This is not one of the harchokos. She's not well. The harchokos don't apply. Xeris midarabanan. This is because even if she's not well, you know, she's a chayla, and over here it doesn't mean she just has a little headache. She's sick. She's a sick woman. Cannot take care of her because the Shulchan Aruch passes like sikavu legalei serva applies even to a chayla because it's yaharig val yavar. The Ramah disagrees, like passes like the Ramban. Look back at the first Ramah where the letters get small. V'yesh ayimim din ein la mishi yisham shena muta b'chol. If this is her, the best doctor, this is her husband, there's no one else to take care of her, then he can do it. Meaning if there's no woman, then he can do it. If she needs it, he can do it. It's awesome to Rabbanon, but she needs him. So what are you going to do? And then the Ramah writes, if he's a doctor, he can take care of her. According to what I just wrote, that the meaning is lahatir, like the Ramban, that this is an Issa Midrabbanon, but she's a chayla. So we can forego, we can override that Isur Derabanan if we're dealing with a sick person. Im tzricha elav the mishamish lo kol shekein the mutter l'shal umashish lo hadefek v'im ein roifei achar v'tzricha elav v'yesh shakan v'cholya. Certainly if there's sakana, it can be allowed. So Ramah seems to paskin like the Ramban, that this is allowed. Okay, so either way, in Isur Derabanan, Isur Deraisa, nafkamina for achayle, the Ramah paskins, achayle, husband or a male can't take care of her. It's only nisim in the rabbanon. It can be meichel for chayla. It's not jaharig val yavor, touching one of the arayas. We don't paskin like the Rambam, but why then do Yerushalmi say it's a davar mechuar? It's unseemly. What is it? It's unseemly. According to the Rambam, it's jaharig val yavor. According to the Ramban, it's nisim in the rabbanon, and no one is sick here by the mincha saita. So what do you mean he's waving around over here with the woman mechuar davar? It's not mechuar davar, it's hasar davar. However, the Shach writes over here, Sivka and Chaf, and disagrees with the Shulchan Aruch as an interpretation of the Rambam. Shach says, even according to the Rambam, the husband can take care of the wife if she's a chayla. Ve'ein nireh. Even according to the Rambam, we don't have to pass like the Ramban. Certainly according to the Ramban, the husband can take care of her. But even according to the Rambam, ein nireh. Devada afle Rambam leke isu deraisa. There's only an isu deraisa because her isu came derech taiva in a lustful fashion v'chibas bia, and with some leading towards bia, towards tashmish, related. Not in taking care of a chayla. It's only if it's lustful and chibas bia, like an intimate gesture. Taking care of a chayla is not an intimate gesture. So Reis Tashach, even according to the Rambam, this should be allowed. This is not like Sikravu Legalei Serva at all. The Rambam, the Ramban, who are disputing, is like Sikravu Legalei Serva, the Reis, the Rabbanon. That's if it's a lustful, intimate action. But otherwise, no. Might even be mutter. He's medayik from the language of the Rambam at the beginning of the 21st parak of Hilchos Yisurei Bia, writes the Rambam. Ka'abal erva min arayas, derech evarim, Oshachibek v'nishek, or a person that's kiruv basar, derech taiva, lustfully. V'nana v'kiruv basar reza leik min atayra. That's leisikavu legalei serva. But if it's not lustful, it's certainly not intimate action, so then the Shach claims it was never included. Not asa midaraisa, it's probably not even asa midarabanan. At the same time, Shulchan Aruch does say the following. Rabbi said, look over here, Evanez, it's in Chaf Aleph Siv Zayin. What if a person is Mechabek, Menashek, someone there's no taiva for? You know, a relative. HaMechabek or Menashek, Achas Me Arayos, She'ein Libo Sh'odem Noik Falem. There's no Yetzara for this person. You know, too close to the relative. Kegoin, Achoyse Agdoilo, older sister, Achoyz Aviv, Bechayotze Bahem, Afal Pi, She'ein Lo Shum Hanoa Klau, even though there's no Hanoa at all, meaning, it's not Le'sikavu Le'galei Serva, it's not lustful, it's not intimate in any way. This is aunt. No, aunt, fill in the blank. Whatever, we all have that aunt, right? Hare ze meguna b'yoyser. This is unseemly. Meguna. V'davar isahu umaysa tipshim. It's foolish. What are you engaging in chibuk v'nishuk with these kroivim for? You have that unfortunate, you know, uncomfortable conversation at some point, and you just, you know, we're not doing this anymore, right? As the Shulchan Aruch says. Even though there's no hanor, it's meguna. So, apparently, even though it's not like sikavu legalei serva, there's no yetzara going on over here. Or let's say a person is allowed to hug and kiss his daughter. Why? She's one of the arayas. Hug and kiss his mother. Why? Well, she's one of the arayas. How are you allowed to do that? How are you allowed to do that? In fact, there was some amaroyim ulo used to kiss his sister, the Gemara says. So Shulchan Aruch says Maguna Adavar. But how are you allowed to do that? It should be like Sikav Legali Serva. The answer, the Shach says, that's why he disagrees with the Shulchan Aruch over there in Hilchos Nida. The answer is because that's not Derech Taiva V'Chibas Bia. It's not lustful and intimate. So therefore, the Shach says, so then that's not included in Lo'asikav Ulegali Seira. So is it allowed? Is it mutter? Shulchan Aruch says, no. You know what? If it's gratuitous, what are you doing it for? If it's a chaylev, you're taking care of a sick woman, the guy's a doctor, or he's taking care of his wife, there's no one else. So it's not Maguna Adavar. He's taking care of a chaylev. That's allowed. And it's not Lo'asikav Ulegali Seira because it's not lustful or intimate. But if it's gratuitous, there's no reason for this. What are you doing this for? Kissing aunt so-and-so. Why? It's Maguna Adava then. Then it's just wrong. If it's gratuitous, there's no reason for it. As Rav Moshe has a tshuva about kissing daughter-in-laws. Now, about kissing the kala. Grandfather and the father. So Rav Moshe has a tshuva. And he says, of course it's prohibited, even if there is no Yetzirah. He says, it's not so clear that that's the same as the examples given by the Shulchan Aruch. He says, even if it is the same as the examples given by the Shulchan Aruch, it's inappropriate, Maguna Davar. And he says, and if they won't listen to you, Ramesh is very cute. He writes, if they won't listen to you, show them my tshuva, like a doctor, a letter from the rabbi. Show them my tshuva, and no one else will give you any more problems. That's what he writes. He said, they don't believe you that it's inappropriate, show them my tshuva. But it's based on this sif in the Shulchan Aruch. Even if it's not lustful, even if it's not intimate, which is Lo'asikav Ulegali Seira, according to the Rambam, Doraisa Yarek Vayav, according to the Ramban, Midrabanan, it's still inappropriate. So that's what the Yushalmi is addressing for the Kohen to put his hand underneath the hand of the Isha Saita and start waving the carbon. It's Mechuar Adavar, Adavar Mechuar. Meaning, it's not lustful, it's not intimate, it's just inappropriate. Normally, if it's gratuitous, it's inappropriate. So here, it's not gratuitous, it's for the purpose of the carbon. And that's ultimately what the Gemara answers, Eina Yetzer, Baisa Shah. It's in front of a lot of people, it's not going to lead to anything more, and it itself is not necessarily objectionable if it's not gratuitous. Because the reason why they're doing it, it's for the carbon, and it's basically what the Gemara answers. That's why it's allowed. But why isn't it L'sikav U'Legali Seira? That's only if it's lustful or if it's intimate. That's why Ramesh's tshuva. That's why Ramesh writes about the common case, about a person who wants to hug and kiss an adopted child. So that's not as common anymore. But what is common is this kind of stepchildren and things like that, second marriages. Are you allowed to hug and kiss a child, a little baby? We're not talking about the guy gets second married and he has a 17-year-old son and then 17-year teenagers. 30-year-old, daughter-in-law. That's not what we're talking about. But a guy, second marriage, and there's a 6-month-old baby over here, a 2-month-old baby. What now? So the mother, not allowed to hug and kiss the little baby boy. What happens with his bar mitzvah? She raised this kid. What's going on? So Moshe writes, Moshe is really discussing yichud, but Moshe says, yichud hu yoyser mukshe me'achibuk v'nishuk. Yichud he doesn't allow. Yichud he doesn't allow. There were others who did allow Yichud. If we ever get to discuss Yichud, we can discuss a big machlek sapoiskim about Yichud. But he says that's worse than Chibuk Venishuk, ironically. Why? The Ainzak Taiva, Ainzak Derech Taiva, but Chibuk Bia, this is not intimate or lustful. It's like hugging and kissing your own children are Arias. Why is it allowed? Because it's not gratuitous. You need to be Machazek them, you need to show them that you love them. We all need that kind of support. So therefore, you're allowed to give that to someone, even if it's not biologically your child. You raise them as your child, it's allowed. Why? It's not derech taiva v'chibas bi, and it's not gratuitous. There's not no reason for it, so that's why it's allowed. Similarly, there's a controversial tshuva in the Lev Arya. The Lev Arya is dying Grosnas from London. And he has a tshuva about a woman who's giving birth, and she's very nervous. And she's already a little psychologically unstable, perhaps. Not dangerously so, but she needs support. She asked her husband to hold my hand, but she's bleeding already. So a woman, once she starts bleeding, sits on the birthing table, she's already in need of. A woman who's in childbirth, most of the times they don't want to see the husband, too much. But okay, So she wants the husband to hold her hand. She's in need of. Allowed to hold her hand or not. So the Lev Arya writes that if he's doing it to be mechazik her, it's not derech taiva chibas bi, and she wants his chizuk, during dafke his chizuk, during the labor. So he writes, maybe it's allowed. It should be no different than the Shulchan Aruch Nochas Nida about taking care of Ishta Nida, Ishta Chayla. Here she's a Chayla. She's scared. a little depressed, who knows? And therefore he allows it. Again, same type of argument. I don't think there's a reason, you know, there was once, before your time, in the newspaper, the New York Times said there was a famous couple, one of them learned over here in Yeshiva, and there's a picture right after she gave birth of the whole family, like, arm around each other in the newspaper. At that point, where we're coming from at that point. But that's no one needs, you know, emotional support at that point. But even Levi is talking about an unusual case. A woman needs extra emotional support. Perhaps it can be, there's room to argue that it's allowed, because it's not derech type of chibas bia. It's only if it's gratuitous that it's prohibited. It's mechua adava. But here, if you're taking care of her during labor, perhaps there's reason to allow it. I do think that this is important, Rabbi Yisrael B'Shal Toiva, for all of you, that a wife, you know, just gives birth and you have to help her into the taxi on the way out of the hospital. So then I don't think you should say, well, I can't help her, you know. I should have to go, I should taxi driver help her. That doesn't make any sense in my mind. If there's a nurse there, let the nurse help her into the car, by all means. But, you know, who's going to help her out of the car and this and that? That's ain't derech taiva kibbutz bia. Some other man is going to have to touch the wife. I don't see how the husband is any worse. That should be like the same as the Ramah, that ishta chayela, that the husband is allowed to take care of her, at least that's the way we paskin. Like the Ramah, according to the Shach, that's everyone. Because it's not derech taiva kibbutz bia, it's not lustful or intimate. That's why Ramesh's tshuva about shaking hands is often misunderstood. Ramesh writes over here, Oysid Aleph. Common situation that confronts many of us in different settings. Ramesh was asked about shaking hands with a woman who is not your wife, one of the Arias. Ubedavar shera isa sheyesh makilim af miyirei Hashem litein yad leisha kishim ha'shita. Woman sticks out her hand, and he'll give her his hand back. Ulai soivim, they saw people do this, they shake hands. Ulai soivim, maybe they hold, de ein ze derechiba v'taiva. Maybe they hold, it's not lustful. Avalumaisa kasha lismay chazeh. Lamaisa, it's difficult to rely on this. So now, what does he mean by that? Does he mean that it is... What is it? It is... It's a friendly gesture, no doubt, but it's a lustful gesture? He's not sure if we can say whether handshaking is lustful gesture. Now, the truth of the matter is that, some there are different hands. You know, the handshake could become, I guess, an intimate action at some point if it goes too far. You know, but what is he so concerned about? So I don't think Ramesh is saying. Ramesh already told us by the adopted children, you can hug and kiss them. That's not derech taiva chibas. But even though that's clearly a more than a friendly gesture, it's a loving gesture. How could this be any worse? Handshake is worse than hugging and kissing adopted children. I think what Ramesha means is that if you let people do this, you're right, it's not intimate, it's not lustful. But he's worried that it's going to lead to gratuitous touching, meaning that all of a sudden the guy's going to start sticking out his hand and he's just shaking everybody's hand for no reason. And gratuitously, for no reason, that's mechura adavar. There's no reason for it. No reason for it. If she sticks out her hand, so that Ramosha, I think Meikar Adin would agree, it's mutter, of course, to respond. Because it's not lustful, it's not intimate. So it's Mechura Adavar. So yes, Ramosha is saying, okay, so it might be socially awkward. So maybe we should have the social awkwardness. I mean, everyone now is socially, you know, there's so many awkward situations. People love that kind of stuff. So maybe it is awkward. Okay, so we don't have to die from being awkward. But I don't think it's us and Meikar Adin. What Ramosha is concerned about is Mechura Adavar. So it's hard to know when is it necessary, when is it gratuitous. But my opinion, there are obvious situations where it's necessary and obvious situations where it's gratuitous. So if you can get out of it, get out of it. If you feel that you can't, like it's a job interview, so then I don't think you should try to. I think what Ramesh is concerned about is the gratuitous element. He's not concerned that this is a loving, intimate gesture and this is part of L'sikrivu L'gali Serva. No. Ramesh allowed hugging and kissing adopted children. That's clearly a loving gesture. What Ramesh is concerned about is that it's going to lead to gratuitous touching. So if we all know different situations present themselves, if it's gratuitous, it's gratuitous. If it's not, then I think it's mutter. Yeah.
Do we extend, is it only ishta chola that we're saying, okay, so it's not gratuitous, but could you apply that shulchan aruch to the older sister and whatever it is? If it's not gratuitous, then why
meaning they don't understand. They don't understand you. It's going to lead to family tension.
That or like, why are why isn't it even being argued?
Right. So
then once we're doing a little bit, now we've already like gave that leeway, so we can keep going with it. Where does it end, really?
That's the problem. That's why it says kasha l'smach hazeh. Meaning that's the hard thing to know. Where does it end? Does it mean, yeah, it does create an awkward moment, but you might get over that awkward hump and go on with life and no one will know the difference, or could destroy the family. So you have to know which is going to destroy the family, which is going to just be an awkward hump where we got over that and now we moved on. Yeah.
Does it make a difference if the woman isn't Jewish?
No.
Because it's not.
Doesn't make a difference. So that's it's true, it might not be the same. Might not be. We could discuss that whole issue. We've discussed it in the past. Might be slightly different. Probably not in any substantive fashion. So that's why I think Me'ikra Din Rav Moshe would have to agree that it's allowed. What he's concerned about is what's called gratuitous and what's not called gratuitous. You know, we have men and women shaking hands in the lobby of shul, or more, shaking hands in the lobby of shul, married woman with married men. It's not their type of a chibas bia, it's not lustful, it's not intimate, yes, but it's gratuitous, there's no reason for it. So if a person's on a job interview or some public, you know, setting where you feel like you need to shake hands, or you can offend somebody who you need, like a doctor, you know, and you need their help and you're afraid you're going to offend them somehow, so then I think it's appropriate to shake hands. But if otherwise, if you can somehow avoid it, I would try and avoid it. Dying wife, but I think Meikra Din it is allowed. Dayan Weiss has a tshuva in the Minchas Yitzchak where he quotes, he was disagreeing with Dayan Grosnas' tshuva about the husband holding his wife's hand during childbirth. He doesn't allow it even for a woman who needs it, even though it's not lustful. It's caring, it's true, it's loving, but it's not lustful or intimate at that moment that she's in the middle of giving birth. But nonetheless, he feels any caring or loving gesture is included. Any kind of friendly gesture, even a handshake, is not included l'sikav l'galis erva midayraisa, but would be included midarabanan. Sefer Chassidim says lo yitka Yehudi yada bekaf hanachris v'loy hanachris bekaf ish Yehudi. Don't do it. Afal pisha yad mutefes bebeged, even if you're wearing gloves, don't do this. He says you shouldn't do it. So he says why not? It's just shaking hands. It's not lustful or intimate. He says, it sounds like from here it's still awesome in the Rabbanon. It's not Yahagval Yavor, but it's still awesome in the Rabbanon. So he thinks handshaking is still awesome in the Rabbanon, part of Leisikav Ulegalus Ever, because it is a friendly gesture, and even friendly gestures are included. I don't know what he would do with that. I think he prohibits in another tshuva hugging and kissing adopted children. That's also Leisikav Ulegalus Ever in the Rabbanon. He holds you're not allowed to do it. Stepchildren would be the same. Because it's a friendly gesture. Even if it's not lustful and intimate, it's friendly, and even any friendly gesture is asa midarabanan. So he holds hands, shaking hands is asa midarabanan. So anyway, bottom line, Rabbi said, what emerges from this interesting Yushalmi over here, in the context of the Mincha Saita, what emerges with regards to shaking hands, a very common issue, is three opinions. The way I understand the issue, there's three opinions. The Shulchan Aruch might hold it's Yaharik Val Yavor. Shulchan Aruch held to take care of Ishtay Nida, even though it's not lost for intimate, is Yaharik Val Yavor. Even though the wife is a Chayla, you can't take care of her. That's why some quote in the name of the stipler to shake hands with one of the Arayas, Yaharik Val Yavor. He's coming from the Shulchan Aruch. The Shach, though, disagrees that it's only if it's lost for an intimate. But what if it's a friendly gesture, like shaking hands? Taking care of a Chayla is allowed. What about if it's, though, it's a friendly gesture, it's not taking care of a chayla. I'm not a doctor over here. It's a friendly gesture, shaking hands. So that in wise health is still awesome in the Rabbanon. Any friendly gesture, certainly a loving or caring gesture, will be awesome in the Rabbanon with one of the Arayas. But I think for Ramayisha would hold that it's mutter. Then it's mutter, but if it's gratuitous, it's mechua hadavar. And we have to know in those situations in our own life that present themselves when it is gratuitous and when it is necessary. Okay, Shvet.